Jesus, we, God, we thank you.
Yes, bless you.
Thank you. So many things to be thankful for. If we sit and pause and reflect on your movement, not just within our lives, but the lives of others around us too. God, you are here. You are with us right now. God, I ask that you would, continue to use us for your glory, not for our own, but so that you would be magnified, that you would reflect off of us to others. God, we love you and we thank you so much. We give this time to you in your name. We all said?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Merry Christmas. Come on, that was awesome. Is that good? I love that. That was amazing. I'm like, yep, love me some Thursday night. But can you believe that Christmas is Sunday? That's crazy. That's really crazy. I was thinking this past week because I'm preparing for Christmas. I'm preparing for Christmas Eve service, and I'm thinking about Christmas in my own life. And I've noticed this progression in Christmas. As a kid, Christmas was everything. It was everything because it was I get to receive. There was going to be presents for me. Things that I wanted, things that I longed for, things that Santa would give me was on Christmas. So I looked forward to Christmas because it was about, did I get what I asked for? Did I receive what I really wanted? And most of the time, yeah, I did. Some things were a bit crazy and I probably could never receive that. But for the most part, I did and I received it and it was great. And there's so many memories of Christmas mornings, of me waking up in the morning and smelling coffee cake. Or my dad would strategically sleep in so that we would have to walk in and wake him up and jump on him and make sure that he's up in order to open presents, which I think is a great thing. And I'm going to do that with my daughter and my son because I'm just going to sleep in so that I can have some affection from them. It'll be great. It was awesome. I look forward to that. But there's moments that I was looking at when it came to the Christmas season that I looked forward to. And then there was a turning point. And the turning point was probably sometime in high school where it was no longer really about receiving the gifts, but really just enjoying the moments, enjoying all that's going on. Yes, the gifts were good, but there was more to that. And then another turning point was when I got married. And then another turning point is happening this week for me. I'm looking at it right now, and I'm excited for this turning point. And the turning point is that now I have a daughter who's fully aware of what's going on. She understands presents. She understands the role of them. She understands that when she gets to open it. She understands it so well that she wants to open up presents that aren't even hers. I'm like, no, those aren't yours. Not every present that is wrapped is yours. But she loves it. And so I'm looking forward to the next season of life where I get to enjoy not necessarily receiving, but I get to enjoy what it's like to give. And that's what this season's about, right? The problem is we get busy. We get real busy. Our culture gets really busy. You don't believe me? Go to the mall after service. Go to Target. Go anywhere outside. And it's madness. It's like as if we've never heard of Amazon anymore. Come on, they just deliver everything to your house. It's wonderful. But it's madness, it's crazy, it's busy, busy, lots of stuff. And so in preparation for Christmas, I was praying, I was talking to Bill, and Bill was speaking the past few Thursday nights. We're talking about how can we slow down? He said, Sean, let's do Advent. And Advent is all about that, that there are seasons in life, right? We have seasons. There are seasons in nature where there's a time of refreshment and there's a time of things that fall. There's different seasons of life. Now, for us, we don't really have too many seasons in Southern California, but we get a taste of it to some degree. But there are other seasons where there are definitive seasons in life, and the same goes for our own life. There is a rhythm and a pace. The problem is, for most of us, our culture, our rhythm is just to busy ourselves, and all we do is just do, and it's nonstop. That's the only rhythm that we have. But it goes against how God has created us to live. In order for us to understand that, we need to slow down. and recognize the rhythm that God has created. Advent does that. Advent says, let's turn down the noise of Christmas culture and let's turn up the Spirit of God and begin to listen. Let's slow down for a second. Advent says to remember. Advent says to listen. Advent says, look. Look at what God's doing. Pay attention to what he's saying, because he's speaking, he's talking, he's here right now. Slow down. Even for myself, when I teach and I talk fast, and some of you are like, yeah, I know that. So it's kind of ironic that I have to teach on something on slowing down or on Advent, and I have to slow down personally, even within my own communication. Sean, slow down. Slow down. Pause. When we slow down the busyness of life, we can begin to hear what God is saying. We begin to listen, pay attention to. The problem is we don't like that. I don't like it. We're afraid of it sometimes. We get awkward. What do I do in the underscore or the gap? Advent says, hey, slow down, pause, listen, listen, pay attention. In this season, when we slow down, we'll recognize the meaning of Christmas, which is very simple. It's not hard. It's very simple. The meaning is two words, God's love. God's love. That's what Christmas is about. What's John 3:16 say? In the New Living Translation, it says this, for this is how God loved the world, that he did what? He gave his one and only Son. Why? So that everyone who believes in him will not die, will not perish, but will have life forever or eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his Son. We celebrate that in Christmas time. We celebrate the reality that God has given his Son to us so that we can have life and life forever. Let's back up a second, though. God so loved the world that he gave. Giving is what love does. Giving is how love expresses itself. Giving is what God is into. One thing people miss often is that God is not a God who takes. God is a God who gives. When we say that God loves, this love is an action. This love is a self-sacrificial movement of him giving of himself to us. Love gives. In mythology, they created these gods, and these gods did nothing but take, and they treated human beings as if they were slaves. But the one true God, the God that we worship, the God who is real, it's not that he takes, it's that he gives. Even since the beginning of creation, what did he do? He created a perfect environment, a perfect place. He told man and woman, now it's yours. Be fruitful, multiply. Now, be fruitful and multiply doesn't just mean what we automatically think of. It means more than just that. It means to cultivate, that he has created an environment where things can exist as we cultivate the land, as we create art, as we create and begin to build. Be fruitful, multiply, it's yours, take it, you can have it. Since the beginning, God has been giving, giving, giving. Because that's what love does. Love gives. Why does God give? Because he loves you and me. And we do it. We love people by giving of our time to them, by giving of our resources to them, by giving of ourselves to them. For those of us who are married, our marriage is successful based upon, contingent upon how much we're willing to give of ourselves to the other. That's why selfishness does not do well in marriage, right? Can't have me coming into the relationship because it's no longer me, it's now us, because two have become one. So when selfishness enters the marriage relationship, it doesn't do very well. That's where conflict arises. That's where arguments occur, because it's about me. Love gives. And we know that. Within marriage, it thrives. Last night, I got home from work, and my wife wasn't there, and my daughter wasn't there. Normally, they are. Normally, I look forward to coming home, and my daughter's, you know, doing something crazy, or ripping her diaper off and running around laughing and screaming, or something like that, which is totally awesome. She's crazy, and I love it. I walk in, there's no one there. I'm like, what? Where did everyone go? So I call my wife. I said, hey, what are you doing? She's like, oh, hey, I'm on my way home. You want to go get some dinner or something? And I'm like, yeah, I'd get dinner. She's like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I don't know. What do you want to do? She's like, let's go to Panda Express. I'm like, what? Okay. I love you. Let's do it. No big deal. So she calls me and says, hey, come outside. I'm like, okay. So I come outside to go into the car, and I get into the car, and I look in the back seat where my daughter's normally sitting, and my daughter's not sitting in the car. I'm like, and then I look at my wife, and she's all dressed up. What is going on? She's like, we're going on a date. And I'm like, no way. I'm like, where are we going? She's like, we're going to go to this place. And she put on her phone, and it says Hannah's Steakhouse. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it's divine. I love steak. I love steak. I don't go very often because I don't need to, because it's expensive. But she's like, we're going here. And I know something about my wife. She hates meat. She hates it. She does not like meat, which is like, how could you not like? She loves the smell of bacon, though, which is awesome. But she just doesn't like eating it. So that's how marriage works. We work with it. But she doesn't like meat. And I'm like, but you don't want, we're going to a steakhouse and you don't like, she's like, this is for you. I want you to go here. I know you love it. And I'm like, whoa, this is so cool. So we go and we have a meal and we're driving back home, and I'm going towards the exit to pick up our daughter who's staying at my parents' house. And she says, we can't get off there. We have to get off here. I'm like, but we have to pick up Sawyer. And she's like, no, we're not. What? What are we doing? We're going to the movies. What are we seeing? Star Wars. Get out. My wife hates Star Wars. She doesn't like it. And I love it. And I kept texting her like, Star Wars is out. We got to watch it. Come on. She's like, no. Let's watch La La Land. I'm like, no, that looks horrible. La La nothing. No. No La La. I'll go into La La Land watching the dang movie. No, I don't want to watch Star Wars. And she's like, no, we're going to see Star Wars. I'm like, where are we seeing it? At Sinopolis. No way! Which is like the most divine movie experience ever. And I'm like, this is so incredible. What are you doing? Steak and Star Wars? You hate those things. She's like, but I love you. And I knew, she didn't say this out loud, but I knew, but that's what love does. She was giving of herself towards that, because that's what love does. Now, although she didn't like those things, here's the reality. God loves you and loves to give to you. That's what he loves to do. He loves doing that. And every gift that we get, every perfect and good gift comes from him. His brother said so. James 1:17 says this, whatever is good and perfect is a gift, coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. Whatever is good and perfect. The key word there is whatever. Or in some translations, it says every good and perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift is coming from him. He is saying, hey, look at this. I got this for you. Enjoy it, because I love you. Well, a month and a half ago, I got a phone call. I was with my wife at the mall. The death of me. Got a phone call. My buddy said, Sean, you got to come with me. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, what are we doing? He's like, we have to go surf the spot. I got access to get on there, and it's amazing right now. You got to go. And I'm like, okay, I'll try my best to figure this one out. So I just said it. I said, Kels, here's the deal. I know we're at the mall. I know this is wonderful and awesome, but I got to go. And she's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, I've got to go surfing. I got invited to this incredible spot and I got to do it. And she looked at me and she's like, seriously? And I'm like, yes, please, oh, please, I'll do anything. I don't care. Whatever it takes, I'll do it. Just let me go. And she's like, of course you can go. You can go. No big deal. And so I'm like, oh, praise God. I'm leaving the mall, death of me, going surfing, the life of me. And I'm like, yes, God, you're so good. I love my wife. She's the best. She really is the best, by the way. She's incredible. She puts up a lot with me. Anyways, I get into the car. I meet my buddy at the spot. We get in the car. We get onto this location where you can't get access to. We park in the parking lot, and there's no one there, and it is perfect lefts, which I love because I'm goofy foot. Perfect lefts, about head high, a little bit overhead. No one out. I've never ran so fast in my entire life. And it was just glassy. Everything was perfect. And I'm sitting out there with one of my best friends, and we're surfing, we're getting barreled, we're coming out, and we're just laughing like little kids. And I'm sitting out there going, this is incredible. And all of a sudden, I had this image of God going, hey, this is for you. Here's another one. Enjoy it. Here's another one. You want a bigger one? Yeah, come on. Let's do it. Here's another one. Enjoy it. It's like almost as he was getting giddy as he's saying, this is a gift for you, Sean. But God, I don't deserve it. That doesn't matter. I want to. It's yours. It's yours. Loves to give gifts. And it's not that his generosity, it's not that his love is just lavish and creative. It's continual, it's ceaseless, it's unstoppable. Lamentations 3:22 through 23 says this. I mean, just sit with this tonight if you could. Look how powerful this is. It says this. It says the faithful love of the Lord never ends. It never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Each morning you wake up, take a deep breath because it's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new start. The stuff that happened in the past, paid for, forgiven, done. New day. Freshness exists in the morning. Wake up and smell some Jesus because that's what it's all about. Wake up and smell some coffee too while you're at it. You're like, oh God, thank you for that good and perfect gift. I love that. Thank you. But no, seriously, wake up and smell it. It's there. Life exists every morning. His mercies are new every morning. So cool. It's like, hey, you see that sunrise yesterday? Yeah? Here's another one. Check this one out. And look at the colors of it. Look at the colors of it. Hey, here's food for your body. Here's beauty for your eyes. Here's music for your ears. Here's strength for your needs. Here's a friend for your heart. Here's purpose for your day. All the time, God is giving, giving, giving because he loves you and me. And that's what this Christmas season is about. Is that God finally got to give the best gift of all. It's as if since the beginning he's been giving and giving and giving, but there's this one gift he's been waiting for. And he's like, oh, I cannot wait to give this one because this one's real good. This one's real good. And that greatest gift of all is what we celebrate. That the Savior of the world, God in flesh, has been born for the redemption of all humanity, for all of us, for you and me, shame, guilt, regret, sickness, cancer, pain, sorrow, tears, done. There is now life and healing and wholeness and hope that heaven is coming to earth and God is going to make all of it new. No more tears, no more sorrow, joy, peace, love, all of it existing, all because God loves to give. God loves us. And he loved us so much that he showed up and he said, hey, I'm going to give my life for you and me. No greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. John 15:13. No greater love. No greater love than that. It's the greatest gift that we could ever, ever receive. It's a gift given out of love that requires us to simply receive, because it's a gift. It's not a gift that's contingent on anything but simply receiving it, because it's for you and me, for every single person who chooses to believe. It's for you. And so there he is, Jesus in a manger, the Savior of the world, here to rescue, here to redeem, here to restore us and all of creation. It is the gift that we celebrate this Christmas. It is what we do when we pause and we sit for a second and we ask ourselves the question, what is Christmas all about? That. Him. Jesus. It's all about him. It's all about him. Jesus says that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, the key word there is blessed. Jesus doesn't just say that we're supposed to give, or he doesn't just say that God wants you to give. He doesn't just say that it's morally superior to give. He says that it's more blessed to give than to receive. The question is, what does it mean to be blessed? To be blessed means to be enriched. To be blessed means to be enhanced. To be blessed means to be given more life. What Jesus is saying, he's saying, look, here's a better way to live. Here's a greater way to live. It is better to give than to receive. And we all know that. Because we do it. We do it. We live that way. Christmas season is about that. That's why we love Christmas. We get to give, and we see, we recognize, man, it is so good to give. Life is breathed into us as we recognize how great it is to love in that way. We look forward to moments of being generous. We love to give because we're made in the image of a generous God who desires and continuously gives of himself over and over and over again. Again, love loves to give. It's what love does. No greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. No greater love than giving of ourselves to others. So this Christmas, may we give the best that we have, the best of who I am. May I show up, the best of who I am, may I show up this Christmas. Now here's the deal, I can't tell you how to love or who to love or how to be generous with what God has given you or any of those things. I can't tell you that. All I can say is that this Christmas season, let's love people. Let's love them. And I know that's simple, and I know we state it a lot, but we need to be reminded of it often. Because we get so busy and so preoccupied that we're here, but we're not here. We're somewhere out there in La La Land. Like that's musical. We're somewhere out there, La La Land. We're here, be present, here, now, in the moment. Listen, stop, reflect. Because God is speaking, he's saying something, he's talking. He's calling you to love someone. That person may pop into your head right now, and you may know who that person is or that group of people. And you might even tell yourself, oh no, not that person. But as Christians and people who love Jesus, we don't have the opportunity or the privilege to have enemies. They don't exist in our vocabulary anymore. No enemies. Love them. And maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't. Maybe you go to sleep tonight and God will say, hey, this person, love them. Give the best of yourself. Love them. Maybe God will remind you as you're sitting around the Christmas tree of the people that of your loved ones that are there. or your relatives that are there. Love them. The only way we can, and the only way we can do this is to stop for a second and breathe. Maybe for you, you just need to take a deep breath. My watch, this Apple Watch thing, I don't know how I did that or what it does, but it alerts me and it pops up and it says breathe. I'm like, oh, thanks. I'm like, oh, jeez. How did you know that? It's like testing my oxygen levels or something. Crazy watch. And I look at it and it says, I love you. And I'm like, oh, thanks. No, I'm kidding. I didn't say that. Breathe, Sean. Got it. Breathe. Take a deep breath for a second. Breathe. Pause. He's speaking. Listen. Can't hear him. Yeah. He does a pretty good job of communicating through this. He's been doing it for a while. I highly recommend it. I highly recommend reading it. But then again, don't just read it to just read it or to, it does feel good to read it because you feel accomplished that you read something. But there's more going on here because God uses this as a primary avenue of speaking to us. Listen. Listen to him. Go back and read Lamentations. Or read John 3:16. Better yet, read John 3:16 and 3:17. And 18. And 19. And you're going to begin to see more of the picture of what Jesus is doing. Better yet, you'll begin to see that he's sharing that news to one person in the nighttime. To a religious person. Some of the greatest news that we could ever hear. Fascinating. Think about it. God, what are you doing there? What are you saying to me here? What's going on? Listen, pause, stop. Maybe it's just one verse. Read it. Read it again. Read it again. The problem for us in our culture is that we take our time and we want to make sure that we do the best with it. So I have this time. I got three things planned in this time slot, and I'm going to do it. Done. But when we do these things, we're not really present. But the times that we are present, we say things like, man, time just flew by. We're having fun, we're talking, we just feel like, where did the time go? You don't know where it went because you weren't focused on time, you were focused on someone in front of you. I remember sitting in class, and I would stare at the clock. And like 9:30, in the morning when the class ended, it was so slow. It was like, duh, duh, duh. I'm like, Lord, help me. Would it just ring, you know? Because we're focused on time. Don't focus on time. Focus on Jesus. Focus on him. And he'll give us the capacity to be present. The Spirit of God will give us the capacity to love. The Spirit of God will give us the capacity to be here this Christmas season. In the midst of the busyness, in the midst of all of it. God, give me a heart like yours, right? Want to love like he loves. Want to be present like he's present. Simply ask God, God, give me the capacity to be present this Christmas season, to love the world, to love my neighbor, to love the person in front of me, to give the best of who I am to them in that moment. And we'll see that that is a blessed life. And that sounds like the best Christmas ever. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for Advent. I thank you for pausing. And in the pausing, we're reminded that we are not human doings, but human beings. And that you are here. And it isn't so much that we ask that you show up, but God, Give us the capacity for us to be present to your eternal reality, because you are always here. You are with us right now. And may we be reminded of love, how you loved us, how you continue to love us. And as we sit and we reflect on that this evening, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would empower us to love like that. Give us the capacity to give the best of who we are to those who are in front of us this Christmas season. Give us the ability to be here, present with you and with those around us, so that we too can love as you love us. God, thank you. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your unceasing mercy. Each day, each morning, it's new. Thank you. You are a good God, and we love you. In your name, we all said,